With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Joining us right now in the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, our buddy Steve Buckhance, the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. Good morning, Buck.
Broadcast brethren, what's happening?
Hey,
what's going on? What are you doing in Toronto besides check your bed sheets and everything?
When it rains from Friday to Tuesday, not much.
A lot of drinking.
Any good restaurants up there?
A lot of drinking.
Well, there's some great restaurants because, you know, you got all these French cooks up there and they know what they're doing.
Right.
And some fabulous places. However, I'm not as big a fan as a lot of people are.
Oh, really?
I used to be back in the day when Phil and I used to run around up there, but I don't do that anymore. So it's like New York City with no personality.
Oh, really?
Jeez. Toronto stinks. I'm crossing that off my list of places to visit.
We've got sort of ornery.
Yeah, I wouldn't
today.
Run up there. I mean, you know, first of all, I guess in the summertime it's nice, but when we go for 21 years, I never saw the sunshine.
Yeah.
So
let me ask you this: what's worse, Toronto or Sacramento?
Well, at least Sacramento, you're in California, and the weather's decent most of the time. There's not a lot to do there either. But there are some other cities that would be well below those lists. I'm not going to name them, but, you know.
Oh, yeah. Cleveland.
He did have a lot of downtime because there was not just one day off. There were 2 days off between games one and two.
Oh, my God. It was unbelievable. And, again, and I'm telling you, when we got on the bus after customs to go down, and that's a long ride from the airport. People complain that Dulles is a long ride in, which it can be, you know, once you hit the traffic. But that's Toronto's brutal. The bus driver said, I said, you know, how long has it been like this with the rain and the snow and everything? He said, since October.
Oh.
So, you know, and it did. It rained and it snowed for 5 days until finally the last day, Tuesday, when we were going to the arena, the sun broke out. So, it was pretty rough, but you know, we stay in a nice hotel, so look, I'm happy to be there.
Well, Buck, you're blowing any chance of getting any Canada Board of Tourism sponsorship ads after this first 2 minutes.
I'm sure this will get back to him. Look, I love, you know, the people are really nice, and the hotel we stay in is beautiful. So, and we went to a couple of great restaurants, so I'm not complaining that much.
Yeah.
But then you had to watch the Raptors just rain threes all over
might
the Wizards.
About that.
I don't know what that deal is. I mean, against the Wizards during the regular season, their third worst 3-point shooting percentage was against Washington after, I think, Golden State and somebody else, Memphis maybe. So I don't know where that came from, but that's how they play now. You know, they didn't used to play like that. They used to just depend on DeRozan and Lowry or whatever. Now that's wide open,
yep.
And it worked for them. It's worked for them beautifully this season. Obviously, they had 59 wins and franchise best, and they just best record in the East. So they're good, man. They, you know, I think they have a real good shot to go to the Eastern Conference Finals.
Who's their GM? Is it Bobby Webster?
No.
Who's their GM, Toronto's?
Massey Ujiri.
Oh, okay. How long has he been there? He's putting together a nice little squad. I mean, you mentioned DeRozan and Lowry, but those other parts, I mean, they're all contributing big time.
They're deep, man. They are really deep. I mean, and he's not afraid to go to anybody. They all work for him, too. So, obviously, in game one, DeLon Wright was ridiculous, hitting shots. C.J. Miles, we know, is deadly.
Yep.
You know, you get rid of one big guy in Valanciunas, you bring in this Jakob Poeltl guy in, and then they even played Lucas Nogueira, who doesn't do a lot, but you know, he's a 7-footer.
He has face tattoos.
He does. He's got them everywhere.
I looked at his box score. I think it was from the last game. I think he played like 3 or 4 minutes. He scored no points. He had 5 fouls. He had more fouls than he did minutes played.
Really?
You're right.
He has a tattoo above his eyebrow.
Yeah. I played just a little more, Nate, and then 5 minutes, you're right, he had 5 fouls. So he does that. And then the guy that hasn't really done anything in this series, of course, he didn't play in the first game, is this kid, Fred VanVleet,
yep.
Who just destroyed the Wizards all season long. And and he's a good player. But
great
he
college player.
He was ineffective in the second game. First game, he was out with a sore shoulder. So, they bring this other kid Siakam off the bench, and Norman Powell hasn't done much, but he can play. So they're really deep, and even the rookie that starts Anunoby is productive. So. You know, you look at their lineup. Serge Ibaka was a great, obviously, pickup for them when he came, and he's solid. He's a real solid player. So they're good, man. And I don't know. The Wiz got to play some defense. Got to play some D somehow.
That was embarrassing, and they were getting killed on the boards. I get it when teams are draining threes. I mean, you got to contest them, but if they're going to make 30 footers, it's tough to beat a team like that. But man, how many easy looks did DeRozan have? Lowry. Valanciunas. I mean, they just had a lot. They were getting boards. That was just an ugly performance. Do you think that Toronto comes back down to earth with their three-point shooting on Friday night?
I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to shoot it well from three. Now, they didn't shoot it as well this last game. They shot 37%, which isn't bad, but they had 11 in the first half, which was outrageous. But then they only had two in the second half. So the Wizards did a much better job. Obviously, the third quarter was good for Washington. They outscored them 32-24. And at one point, in the fourth, they cut it to five, which was, admirable. Just couldn't get there. And the Wizards themselves, they didn't shoot badly. They shot 49% from the field for the game and made 10 of 22 threes, so that's not bad. But you're right, they got out killed on the boards. And they're really struggling to get looks. I mean, Bradley Beal, 3 of 11 from the field, 9 points. I think it's the first time in 35 straight playoff games he didn't score 10 or more points. So he's got to somehow get unleashed. But I think teams, and they've been doing this in the regular season too, teams just, they really go after him. They know John Wall's going to hurt him in some fashion. But I think they feel like we got to get to Bradley Beal and make keep him from having a great game. And make it really tough on him because he works hard to get free for shots, but he's having a difficult time getting shots and getting good looks. So, Toronto's a good team. The Wiz got to play some defense. They got to try to get out there and play urgent, which I think they did better in the second game. But, these are the playoffs, man. This is the time when you got to let it loose.
Buck, a guy that is getting good looks is Mike Scott. 34 points in just 54 minutes off the bench. He's shooting 14 of 20 from the field in this series. Do you think Brooks starts him and shakes up the starting lineup in Game 3? Is he more comfortable with him coming off the bench?
Well, I think you're more comfortable with him coming off the bench because, the bench hasn't been terrifically, tremendously productive. It's been better than it was last year. But obviously, without Jody Meeks, it doesn't help any. Now, Ty Lawson was great the other night. I mean, that was – I love to see that. And you're going to see more of him, clearly. Came in, his first shot was a three. He wound up making 4 3-pointers. Which was awesome. Mike Scott 7 of 10 from the field, so a second straight game where he's been tremendous. You could start him, I guess, but again, you got to have some help off the bench. So I don't know if he will. I guess he could. I'm happy with him coming off the bench and being productive, which he's been.
Yeah, because Toronto's bench is going to produce.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out what this team's all about because obviously if you lose at home game three, the season's over. I mean, they're not going to win. I don't think they're going to come back anyway, but this is a spot on a Friday night at home. Place should be jammed. Should be packed.
Be some energy.
Should be some energy in the arena. And then you win a couple at home, you're right back in it.
Well, that's the key. And look, the Caps are in the same position except they're on the road. And so, they win tonight, and that thing's even, and now that's a best-of-three series, and they have home ice advantage. So the Wizards wouldn't have home court advantage if they could tie this thing up somehow, but it would be best 2 out of 3. Mm-hmm. I don't know what their mindset is. I walked off the plane with John Wall the other night, and he seemed pumped up. He said, we're going to get this game Friday night. And by the way, I meant to ask you, remember in game one he fell and looked like he hurt his wrist?
Yes.
And the first thing I thought of, and he told me the first thing he thought of, was Atlanta a couple of years ago when he broke his bones in his hand.
Right.
But he said, well, actually what happened was Nogueira stepped on him, so he was okay. But he seemed kind of confident and kind of excited and almost like ready to go. So I don't know what that means, but hopefully that the whole team will feel that way and come out and get a win and cut this thing to 2-1. And then you know, it's such a cliche, but it's so true. You literally have to play one game at a time. And I mean, it sounds so stupid to say that because that's what you do. But you got to focus on one game, winning one game. Forget about the rest of the games. If you don't win this game tomorrow night,
right,
like you said, Lurch, you're down 3-0 and you're done.
You're done. Yep.
So you got to win. This is now game seven for them. You got to win this game Friday night. And just like the Caps have to win, they can't go down 3-1. So you got to do that.
We're joined by Steve Buckhantz, the voice of the Wizards on NBC Sports Washington. Kind of want your take on a couple things we were discussing earlier. So Jerry Brewer had an article in the Washington Post today where essentially kind of says that the Wizards team, they take things a little too casual. And then we also had comments, I don't know if you are aware of them, from Paul Pierce and Tracy McGrady on one of their ESPN shows where they said that if the Wizards don't advance to the conference finals, they're going to have to break up Wall and Beal. Give us your take on both of those.
Well, the casual thing, you know, may have been, you know, their description or MO, if you want to call it that, earlier in the season or maybe even going into the season, although I didn't see a whole lot of it. But what I didn't see throughout the course of the year was them being consistently urgent on the court, you know, playing. And that's why
what's
at the beginning
the
of the season. What's the difference?
Yeah, between urgency and just too casual. I don't get it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think one thing is one of them is a mindset. The other is actual physical play on the court. And I just think that the team lost so many games that they could have or should have won during the course of the early season, and we knew it would come back to haunt them. I knew it would.
Mm-hmm.
It always does.
Right.
But it actually came down to the final game where if they beat Orlando, they play Boston in the first round instead of Toronto. Now, some of your listeners may think, well, that's not much better than playing Toronto. Well, it is, because they beat Boston 3 out of 4 times this year, and Boston's banged up, obviously. And it's different in the playoffs. I understand that. But they would have had a better shot against Boston than Toronto.
Right.
So anyway, having said that, those losses hurt them. And I think that casual play or thinking you're too good or better than you are or thinking that all you have to do is go out on the court and you're going to win games, that doesn't work. When you're a good team, when you're in Oklahoma City or you're a Golden State, for the most part of 82 games, you go out and you play with urgency and you play and,
right,
and you play hard and you win.
Yeah, they act like they have arrived. I mean, it's definitely a fair criticism. Here's the thing, though, that bothers me, and I'm just so frustrated. I'm trying to, and I know you know, so are you. I'm just venting.
Yeah, I mean, look, we
just
all
venting.
Are. It's,
yeah,
yeah.
But here's the thing. They always say the right things after the game, and then nothing changes.
But every team says the right things. What team doesn't say the right things?
Yeah,
they all
probably.
Say.
You're probably.
You know,
right.
Every athlete I've ever covered in 44 years in this business says the right thing. The question is, do you go out and do it?
Right.
You know, that's, you know, does it manifest itself on the court or on the ice or on the field or whatever it happens to be? So, you know, everybody's going to say the right thing. You have to then turn around and do it. So, I don't know about that. And then with regard to the second statements that those guys made, after last year's playoffs, you know, you're one win away from the Eastern Conference Finals. And the same thing happened a couple of years before that. If John Wall doesn't break his hand, they probably beat Atlanta and go to the Eastern Conference Finals. So they've been close in 2 out of 4 years or whatever it is, very close. This year, I'm not sure, you know, why it didn't. You know, they won, 43 games this year and 49 the year before. So I'm not sure why it didn't pan out on the court.
Well, John was hurt.
That was huge.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed 41 games. So that's big, obviously, and people kind of tend to forget that. But I think that
that was the major difference between last year and this year. Yeah.
Absolutely. And do you break them up? I don't think so. I mean, Ted invested a lot of money in these guys, and John and Bradley and Otto. Obviously, that's the core that he wanted to keep together and build around. So, to me, I don't know if you trade one or break them up in some fashion, or you just try to add to the team somehow in free agency. I don't know money wise if they can do that, but there may have to be a trade made or something like that. But we'll see. We'll see what happens tomorrow night.
How about LeBron last night? Unbelievable, huh?
He's sick, man. I mean, and clearly he said, look, same thing that happened in game one is not happening in game two. And,
right.
and you know, when he wants to take over, and we've seen him do this throughout the course of his career, when he wants to or feels like he needs to take over, he just does.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I love the way Indiana's playing. I think they're great. You know, Victor Oladipo is special, man.
Yeah,
he is
really
good.
Yeah,
he is really good. And, you know, so they achieved what they wanted to do. They achieved a split on the road, and now they go back home for two. So I'm rooting hard for Indiana.
All right.
No question. Thanks, Buck.
Thank you, Steve.
All right,
appreciate
see
it,
if
buddy.
We get a win tomorrow.
All right, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
Yep. Yeah, thanks,
man.
Buck.
He's been in the
Take
business
care.
For 44 years.
Yeah.
By the way, we didn't
know. He's an icon. How old
is
a legend.
I don't know. He looks.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Great.
Joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, Bogdan. I can't pronounce his last name.
Gilligan.
You've done it. He's
it's
butchered.
In my head. It's
Bob,
in my head.
Bob, it's humiliating. He's butchered your name like five times this
Only
morning.
Only twice. I actually avoided it
well,
beyond that.
If he said it five times, at least he's consistent, right?
Yes.
He is
I actually
consistent.
Haven't been consistent, but it's in my head. Bob, you're the voice of the Blue Jackets.
Bob, I'm wearing my Caps jersey. I'm rocking the red, buddy. This is a big one. Big one tonight.
It is a big one. There's no doubt about that. I mean, you know, the Caps won a big one, quite honestly, here a couple nights ago. It was a must-win then. I think both teams are looking at a must-win here because either goes back to 2-2 coming to Washington or the Blue Jackets put a stranglehold on it and have a chance to finish it off. So, you know, both teams are in the same boat today, I think.
Yeah,
Bob, I'm looking at a headline from the Chicago Sun-Times from yesterday. Artemi Panarin's postseason brilliance twisting the knife for the Blackhawks. I mean, what a caper the Blue Jackets pulled on the Blackhawks to get this talent on their team.
They got a superstar.
He's been the best player on the ice by far in this series. Talk about how Columbus approached getting him, how they were able to make that trade work. And this is a guy who's going to be a thorn in the side of every Metro Division team for the next decade with the way he's playing.
You know, when Jarmo Kekäläinen, the general manager for the Blue Jackets, talked about the trade after it happened, He described it like this. He said, you know, we're always sitting around and looking at different teams and different possibilities. And he said one day he just kind of said, man, I wonder if Chicago would ever think of moving Artemi Panarin. And then, of course, the Blue Jackets had already acquired Brandon Saad a couple of years previous from Chicago. And then Stan Bowman called one day and he said, you know, I wonder if you would be interested in moving Brandon Saad again. Because they wanted them back. So it was, you know, he made it sound like it was kind of a wishful thinking, pie in the sky thing that all of a sudden came true out of nowhere. So, as a hockey fan from the outside, do you look at that trade and say, how in the world could the Chicago Blackhawks ever do that? Do you guys look at it that way?
I mean, from the
well,
way.
Well, we didn't know much about him until this year, but he is special.
From the way Panarin's been playing, it definitely makes you think that. And I know that Chicago was disappointing last year in their loss in the playoffs to the Predators, but, I mean, why would you give up a special talent like Panarin? I guess, like you said, they wanted Saad back on the team, and I guess they thought Panarin was worth the price.
Well, you know, it comes down for them, too. It's also with salary cap, right? Because Panarin has just 2 years left on his deal this year and next year, and then they would have to sign him. They're kind of in a cap crunch where they are right now. And I really think the story has always been that Jonathan Toews really wanted Brandon Saad back on his line. So they gave up Panarin, who Patrick Kane loved because they worked out great together. They gave him up to get Saad back for Toews. But, you know, there were two storylines really coming out of the trade in the summer. Number one was, how is a player that's so offensively talented like this going to mesh with John Tortorella as the head coach? And number two was, can Artemi Panarin flourish without Patrick Kane, or does he just work with Patrick Kane? Both of those questions have easily been answered. He's one of John Tortorella's favorite players on this team, not because of what he does offensively, but if you watch him play every shift, he is relentless defensively. He steals pucks from guys. It's amazing how he goes into the corner, ducks underneath a guy, comes out with the puck. When he has the puck, it is extremely hard to get it away from him. And as Torts always says, he weighs about $170, and yet he's out playing a lot of bigger guys than him. And then the offense, you know, that speaks for itself and what he does there. And did he need Patrick Kane? No. He had 82 points in the regular season. He sets a Blue Jackets record for points in a season. And in this playoffs, when I watch him play, guys, especially in that last game, every time he came over the boards, he wants to be a superstar. He is really embracing being on this big stage, and I think you can see it in the way he plays.
Bob, I can't tell you how many times we argued on this show and with the callers on who Barry Trotz should start to, you know, in this series in goal, because Grubby was so hot, you know, in the regular season, and Holpe wasn't. And then, you know, it was my opinion that they should go with Holpe just because of the playoff experience. Anyway, so Grubby didn't work out for those first two games. Holpe played much better in game three. Just curious, from your vantage point, what did you notice about the two goalies? And do you think that Trotz made the wrong call starting Grubby in the first two?
Well, hindsight's 20/20. I mean, probably. But then again, you know, it's a tough call as a coach, because if you have one guy that's clearly outplaying the other guy, then the right thing to do, I think the message you need to send to your team, if you're going to be a coach that says the best players are going to play, and if Grubauer is the best player over Holpe at that time, then, yeah, I think you have to play him. However, again, hindsight, I thought that there were at least a couple of shots the other night. There were at least two, maybe three, that had Grubauer been in goal, the Blue Jackets would have scored on, and they didn't score because Holpe was in there. And one of them was in the first period. It was Cam Atkinson. He was coming right down the slot between the circles, and Holpe just got the glove up enough. He didn't catch it, but he tipped it, and he set it up over the glass and out of play. And that was one where I was like, oh,
yeah,
it would have been the other guy. I think that one goes in. So, hey, you know what? To his credit, it went five periods. He made the change, lost that, you know, in overtime in game two, but now, I thought Holpe was a difference maker in game three, quite frankly, because, you know, there were other instances. Boone Jenner had a couple of great chances right on the doorstep, and he made a fantastic skate save with his left skate. And that was, I think that was late in the third period. So he was a difference maker. He made a factor. So it doesn't matter who you started, quite frankly. I mean, it's a 2-1 series. You're in the series. It's about, if you thought it was a mistake, you fixed the mistake, and that's what he did.
Bob, were Jackets fans apprehensive about Bobrovsky's playoff record before this series with the Capitals started? He was a 3-10 goaltender. I mean, it's a two-time Vezina winner who in the playoffs, for whatever reason, has just had a lot of issues, hasn't performed well in the playoffs. He's been pretty good so far in this series. What has the outlook been on Bobrovsky and how he's played so far against the Caps?
Yeah, I think he's been better than pretty good in this series, and especially if you talk about his playoff failures in the past, you know, I've seen them. So when you watch him play like he played on Sunday in that third period when the Caps outshot the Blue Jackets 21-5 and he was all over the place, he's been terrific. Yeah, everybody was apprehensive because in the last two playoff series, both against Pittsburgh, he did not play well. I mean, last year, he won the Vezina Trophy. He was the best in the league, and he got into the playoffs against the Penguins, and they made him look like a peewee goalie, quite frankly. They started to operate from behind the net. He couldn't pick up the guy behind the net. He had no idea what was going on. He just looked completely out of sorts. Now, in fairness to him, and you guys can attest to this, the Penguins did the same thing to Braden Holpe when they got him next, and they did the same thing to Pecorine when they got him in the finals. So he was not alone last year, but that just built on his past struggles of performing in the postseason. So, yes, there was a lot of apprehension. Yes, he's the guy that they lean on all season long. They knew they needed that guy to show up in the playoffs, and so far, without question, that guy has shown up. I think it's the two Russian guys here. It's Panarin and Bobrovsky that have put the Blue Jackets into the position that they're in right now.
Bob, going into the series, what was the perception of the Capitals, you know, from your perspective? maybe from the team's perspective, the Midwest perspective, because we're kind of cynical fans here, and I know in years past teams have thought, yeah, the Caps, you know, they're a good team, they're flashy, but you know,
they can't get it done. In the
yeah, you tie it up, they'll buckle under the pressure, they'll lose in the seventh game or whatever. Did you guys have that same perception?
Yeah, I think that's that's a normal hockey perception, to be honest with you. But
right.
In the same vein, though, you also know that they did win the division. I'll be honest with you. I thought after the changes that they had to make after last year, I didn't expect them to win the division.
Right.
But they did. They found a way, and they got there, and they won it, and they did it very well. They still have Alex Ovechkin, who's a superstar in this league, and I know, you know, he had the big game on Sunday with the two goals, but he's always there. He can always break it open. You know, TJ Oshie has been a problem for Sergei Bobrovsky throughout his career, and Nick Backstrom. I mean, there's plenty of good, very talented players. And, you know, here it is, to be honest with you, they wanted to play. The fans wanted somebody other than the Pittsburgh Penguins, because in the last two playoff series, it's been kicked out by the Penguins. And this year against the Penguins in the four games, three of them went to overtime, and Pittsburgh won them all. And the last one was with just two games left in the season. So there was a very big sentiment here, play somebody other than Pittsburgh. To which I said, okay, but remember, you're asking for the first-place team, not the second-place team. So, yeah, there's, you know, they just felt more comfortable playing against Washington. But that's just because of the Pittsburgh factor. Everybody here realizes that Washington is still very talented. Nobody thinks that this is going to be an easy series. And I can tell from the fans, when that thing was tied and going into the first overtime, you know, you get some fan bases that have been there and have gone through it a lot, and there's a lot of confidence. I can feel this one being a little bit nervous because, to be honest with you guys, this is only the fourth trip ever to the playoffs for this franchise, and it's the first time they've gone in back-to-back years. There's still a lot of nervousness and a lot of angst amongst the fans when it comes to this.
Joined by Bob McKelligat, play-by-play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets. You know, another young, awesome player on your guys' roster, because overshadowed by Artemi Panarin, is Pierre-Luc Dubois, 19 years old. You know, he's a little bit of an instigator with a lot of offensive skill. Talk about what this guy has brought to that team. He's another guy that the Caps have to deal with on a nightly basis.
This guy was drafted third overall a couple of summers ago. A lot of people thought that the Blue Jackets, he wasn't ranked in the top three. Jesse Puljujärvi, who was taken by the Oilers at number four, was supposed to be the guy behind Auston Matthews and Patrick Laine. And all of a sudden, the Blue Jackets went off the page and they took Pierre-Luc Dubois. And they took a lot of criticism for that, quite frankly. And last year, he came to training camp and he wasn't ready to go, and they sent him back to junior. And this year, he came back to training camp just a completely different guy. They started him on the wing, on the fourth line, and on the wing at the beginning of the year. And it got to be November, and John Tortorella felt he wasn't moving his feet well enough, and there were some injuries, so he put him in the middle at center. And he was, quite honestly, he was the only guy at that time that found any kind of chemistry playing with Artemi Panarin. So all of a sudden, he finds himself on the top line at 19 years old and stayed there pretty much throughout the entire year. He scored 20 goals here. That's a record for goals. He broke Rick Nash's record for goals as a rookie. And he's been terrific. And yes, he does have that mean side to him. He plays a little bit dirty, and that has really started to come out in the last month. That was his label in junior, that he could play dirty like that. Not that he's trying to cheap shot you, but he knows exactly how to get that last little bump in after the whistle, just a way to get under your skin and draw your attention. And in the last month of the regular season, we saw that a lot. And it was the Pittsburgh game in game number or whatever it was, 81. And he and Patrick Hornquist were going at it throughout the course of the game. And afterwards, a reporter asked him, what was going on with Hornquist? And he said, I don't know. You know, we're just around the net. And I said, come on, do you think this innocence routine is still going to work after 81 games? And he goes, listen, I'm not going looking for it.
Right.
But it's just the way I play. If it comes, it comes. And you guys have seen it now over the course of three games. He wants to be a factor, this kid, and he's been pretty impressive.
All right, Bob, what's the key tonight in your opinion?
Well, you know, I really think for the Blue Jackets, they've got to come out of this game with a win tonight. Just because this team is a team that operates on confidence. This is a very feel-good team. Throughout the year, they didn't have that confidence. They couldn't win three in a row for the longest time. And when they finally did, I had said back at the time, I said, if this team wins three in a row, I can see them winning four, five, six in a row. Well, they won 10 in a row, and that's what got them into a position for the playoffs. So if they lose this game and have to go to Washington 2-2, I'm a little bit worried about their psyche as a team because they are still very young. So I think for them, I think it's going to be score early. I think they have to feel good about themselves early in this game. They're going to have to get to Braden Holtby. They're going to have to get a lot of traffic in front of him and find a way to open this game up and not just have it be a one-goal game. And they've got to stay out of the penalty box. We've said this every single game, and they keep going to the box. And, you know, Washington gets that 5-on-3 power play goal the other night, which turns out to be a key goal. So if the Blue Jackets don't stay out of the box and if they don't capitalize on some of their chances early in this game, it might be a long night for them, even though they're the home team.
Bob, thanks for the time. We do appreciate it. Give him a follow on Twitter, at Bobby Mack Sports. It's Bob McGilligan. That's the best I can do with this.
McGilligan.
It's in my head, too.
Oh, that's good job.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Thanks for the time.
Thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's just got a hard last name.
But it is humiliating. JP, you can't introduce the guy
and say his name. And just say Bob.
Twice. I only said it.
I know, but Cakes was kind of
hold on. It got into my head because everybody said something different.
I know, but I think you introduced him as Bob. I don't even think you gave the last name.
No, McGilligan. He did.
No, he never did. No. JP never did.
I bobbed just said and I Bob. Said McGilligan.
On the teaser, he did, but when Bob was on the phone, he just goes,
McGilligan.
It's Bob. Is it
McGilligan?
McGilligan.
It's hard. It's hard.
You know what?
It's a hard name.
It's a hard name. It really isn't.
Listen, I know we're not professional, but when you know days in advance that a guy's going to be on, we got to learn the name. I'm throwing myself in there. I'm not saying
sure.
We gotta learn the name. It's so insulting to have a guest on. It's not like he's a master author. He's a playboy. He's on the air.
I understand.
Here's the playboy voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
He knows
Bob.
He knows he has a hard last name. His Twitter handle is Bobby Mack Sports.
Right. What happened 1 minute before that segment started?
Because I said it fine, but it in my head.
Let's also be honest.
You know what it was like? It's like when somebody goes up to the first tee and everybody's giving them 100 swing. I literally have it written down one way.
But I would say
then
this.
He says it one way, Drabs is another way. It was just in my head.
I'm not that different from JP. JP and I grew up across the street. We're very similar in a million ways. JP's a mush mouth. Okay? So with some names, he just botches.
I probably should be doing the mush like.
Hundreds of times on the show and botched it once.
I know.
That's the only one I remember.
Cakes, by the way, kind of botched the name. Jason gave me a look.
A little bit.
I might have botched it, but it's a hard name to pronounce.
It's humiliating.
It's sad.
Humiliating. Bob McGlocklaw.
At least I made an attempt to ID the guy.
Yeah.
I tried to ID him while he was on the air.
I told Drab.
But I took a shot.
This is our fault because we should have spelled it phonetically on the sheet.
It is. JP.
No. Oh, it is?
JP and has it written in front of him because I went in there and we said, you sure you know how to say it? And we wrote it out.
Bob McGilligot. Is that how you say it?
See, that's not right either.
I'm just trying my best. Listen, it doesn't matter to me because I never ID guys. I just say, hey, Bob.
That's right. That's what he said.
So I punt.
Hey, Bob, what do you think about game four?
Yeah, but you can't intro the guy as, we have Bob on.
We have Bob.
You want to hear another JP-ism?
JP intro the guy as Bob.
That was the movie. What about Bob?
All right, phone number is 800-636-1067. You want to chime in? Coming up later on the show, we have Mike the Mouth Matuso.
How am I supposed to know who he is?
don't intro him.
Well, then you do it.
Any poker player I can do.
Hey, do you have the intro with Bob?
As soon as we go to break, I'll have
that's
it.
That's the funniest thing. I just
hey, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Bob McGilligot.
McGilligot. No, it's McGilligot. Not Gott. It's McGilligot.
Bob McGilligan.
All right, when we come back,
do you know that real broadcast? Like Pete Bedhurst right now wants to blow his brain out.
I love Pete, and he's a great announcer. He'd struggle with that name too. I think he would.
He might.
It's not an easy name.
But Pete would have worked on it and known it in advance.
You're probably right.
But I'm telling you, a guy like
Pete, on your entertainment page
secretly, Pete loathes us.
No, he doesn't.
Like you can't believe. Okay, he wants to pull. If he had his druthers, he'd put a bullet in all four of our heads.
Please.
There are a lot of old school broadcasters like Pete that are horrified by our success.
But we just turned it into a positive. We turned it into a positive.
I know
bit.
That. Once but you real hear- broadcasters, Man,
once you hear the name pronounced, it's easy to say it.
So you say it correctly.
It's McGilligan.
Bob McGilligan.
Like delegate, but with a
Bob McGilligan.
McGilligan. It's not
McGilligan.
You're better at
Listen, you're better at pronouncing words than JP is than I am. You're better at it. It's one of your strengths.
I just think it's funny that he said, "Let's welcome in Bob."
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard.
I said Bob and I butchered it.
I butchered it. I butchered it because that's what I like.
So ask me off the shelf, fellas.
He gets Brian Constable on the air.
How you doing, Bob?
All right, we'll be right back. All right, I think the total time spent on Bob McElligott's name.
You still can't say it.
McElligott. I said it like that on purpose.
Bob McElligott.
Hold on, so we have audio. Can we?
I know. I think he said the last name.
I don't think he said just Bob.
I think the total time spent on McElligott's name is going to be longer than the actual interview.
You're probably right.
But we're going to get Pete's commentary in a moment. But here's how I butchered the intro to the play-by-play voice of the Columbus Blue Jackets, whose name is, and it was in my head, Bob McElligott. Eric Bickle and Jason Bishop.
Yeah.
That is the foursome. Our pal Steve Buckhand is going to join us at 9 o'clock, voice of the Wizards. We'll talk about Game 3 against the Raptors, but joining us right now on the Mattress Warehouse Hotline, I can't pronounce his last name.
So you started it, and then you bailed. Bob. That's what it was. He didn't just say, here's Bob.
Well, there's more to it.
Huh? What are you saying?
There's more to it.
All right.
Ed.
Bob, it's humiliating. He's butchered your name like five times this morning.
Only twice. I actually avoided it beyond that.
If he said it five times, at least he's consistent, right?
Yes, he is. I actually haven't been consistent, but it's in my head. Bob, the voice of the Blue Jackets.
Bob, I'm wearing my
Oh, so that's what he said, Bob.
Bob, the voice of the Blue Jackets.
Definitely bailed. He just bailed.
Bob.
The first time he attempted, stopped mid-sentence.
All right, but hold on. Listen to JP how he teased him the segment before.
Oh, that's what he completely butchered it.
We will talk more about the Blue Jackets Caps matchup game four with the play-by-play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets, Bob McElligott.
he just roasted it. Maybe that wasn't even close.
I mean, honestly.
You pronounced it the exact same way.
Listen,
yeah, and then,
I know what I'm good at. I'm not good at that, so I'm not going to do
it. And then this is Bob pronouncing his own name.
I'm Bob McElligott, and today I'm joined by
No one would have heard that.
Well, you guys can help us out.
You know, Jimmy, are you insane?
You came in there a hundred times and said it's pronounced McElligott. And then JP mocked me for coming in there one last time.
Because I actually had it. And then I'm telling you, you got me like I'm on the first tee thinking about 100 thoughts. I joked.
Yeah. Pete, when you heard that, were you cringing?
No, you have me confused. EB. I don't loathe you guys. It's like older crusty dudes, older than me.
Yeah, but I feel like used to write about you all and how they loathed you,
and now you make significantly more cash than they do.
That's true, but I know that it's very true. But I know that you're like a real broadcaster, and you also express your frustration. You know, let's pull back the curtain here a little bit. He expresses frustration. He's not appreciated enough. I think he's an amazing broadcaster.
And by the way,
he has to deal with four hacks like us. I try and get him involved in the show whenever I can.
He has to deal with Coach Ken's name. That's another name that's
Niematalolo.
That one is like everyone calls Coach Ken.
Just call him Coach Ken.
That's what Steve Spurrier did when we played South Carolina. He just punted. He went, Coach Ken.
Yeah.
We played Coach Ken this week in that offense.
Do you know who Bob McElligott is? Had you heard of him?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I know a lot of them. So you knew how to pronounce it? It's not that hard.
It really isn't. After you hear it the first time,
it's like
right.
Bob McElligott, except with a G.
I agree.
When you're doing, in JP's defense,
I can tell you that when you're doing a game, there are some times where you get a name that just freezes you, no matter how many times you say it over and over again, no matter how many times you go. Like in my case, no matter how many times I go to the PR person and go over the pronunciation guide with them, there are names that just continue to trip you up.
Pete, give us one. Does one jump out?
Do you know the official pronunciation? When you did the Big Ten, the Maryland Albany game, okay? Nanatoke or whatever.
Yes.
How do you pronounce his name correctly?
Dagota.
See, that's
his first name is
crazy.
Dagota, and it looks nothing like that.
You spell it like Nanatoke.
Well, his last name is Nanatoke.
Or what's the first one?
It's the first name that doesn't look like. I can't remember it off the top of my head now, but it's Dagota because when we talked with their head coach during the course of the week, he reminded us that, hey, it's not what it looks like. It's Dagota.
Right.
Hey, look, I give myself an F for him But Cakes was at about D level, too.
Hey,
at least
wasn't great.
I took a shot. Look, yeah, at least I attempted.
Yeah, but years I wouldn't ago, take a shot. Years ago. That's the safe way. Don't take a shot.
Let me pull back the curtain on IDing people.
Cake shot.
Nobody cares. ID them at the beginning. ID them at the end. There's no need to ID somebody in the middle of the interview.
Sometimes it's part of the reset, Cakes. It's part of the reset.
It's old school. We've never really done it.
How many times
it?
Your producer said Drabby's always telling us in the air, reset.
I know. It's like an old school like thing or like, you know, like.
Right, when people get in the car.
Listener, like old radio people think you need to do it.
As a listener, there have been times when I've jumped in the car and I've heard a voice and I'm like, I know that voice and you do want that.
Well, you know what? You wait until the end of the interview and then you find out.
Look at all the years that we have the discussion about how to pronounce Louis Oosthuizen's name and all the different ways we pronounce that name.
It's really Oosthuizen.
You want to hear Cakes's?
Oosthuizen.
I don't care.
Did you know?
Sure.
That one really bothers me because
Oosthuizen.
Oosthuizen is so nice. He just let everybody butcher it. And so now they think that's what it is.
Yeah.
I'll never by Bob McKelligat, play by play voice for the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Close.
Do it again. Joined by Bob McKelligat, play. It's not great.
It's better than
it's better than JP.
I thought you were going to say Gilligan.
He has the dry mouth thing going on.
No, it's like. It sounds like McGillicuddy. So when you start McGillicuddy, you want to go say McGillicuddy?
We are giving
for whatever reason,
McGillicuddy
a lot of run now.
Years ago, I'll never forget. You know how they always run out these news people to these sporting events when it's a big event and something like that? You'll see the news people, like if the Caps do advance or something like that. Years and years ago, I'll never forget a news person pronounced this Capitals player's name, Gatien Duchesny.
Oh.
Anybody remember
Jaetan Duchesne?
Yeah. Oh, you hear botches like that all the time. Like Joel Embiid's on TV right now, and if somebody would look at it, they may call him Joel Embiid.
Yeah.
I've seen that. But sometimes, you know what?
First rule of thumb as a broadcaster: go to the PR person, go over the pronunciations with them, and you can tell when someone's been lazy and hasn't done that because they just completely butcher and shatter it. That's different. JP doesn't have access to the.
Well, no, he
PR
did have Drabby.
Drabby tried it, but I'm not convinced. He gave me
the correct one.
Did you say it perfectly?
Said it correctly.
Flawless.
And then I said it correctly.
Because I'll tell you this. This has happened 100 times.
But then Jason said it a bunch of times to me, and I said it correctly, and then I choked.
We've had guests before where none of us know the pronunciation, and Drabby will guess and give us the wrong one.
Correct.
It's happened,
happened
multiple times.
That's before they come on. But the first thing I did here this morning is I went to YouTube, and I listened to him say his own name 100 times.
Right. It's a great tool.
That's like the PR department. Instead of your big lips saying it, joined by the newest.
You should have played that audio for JP. Because you're kind of a mush mouth, too.
He's hard-headed and dumb.
What's the word? He didn't even know how to say
JP doesn't even have YouTube on his iPhone 1.
He can't say Mitsubishi. He has a hard time with it.
Say Mitsubishi.
Mitsubishi.
See, he can't even say, I mean, so you're a mush mouth, too. You're not the person to tell us how to say a name.
You want
to
hear everyone pronouncing it throughout the day?
Yeah, sure.
Bob McGillicott. Joined by Bob McGillicott.
Bob McGillicott.
Never lose that tape. We're going to play that for the next 15 years.
I know my place.
It was L, it was ill, it was got, it was get.
McGillicott. Now I have it. McGillicott.
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 Joined by Bob McGillicott.
Bob McGillicott.
By the way, that's another word that whenever JP says the word get, he always says get. Yeah. He's been saying it for years.
He can't change it.
He doesn't pronounce get correctly.
He says get.
He sounds like a hillbilly when he says that.
Yeah.
We misuse vowels in English language all the time.
Like what else?
I's, O's, U's.
Yeah, I still don't know. Like, JP and I are going to the game, or is it me and JP are going to the game? Some of those things I get confused.
Every time I say something like JP and I, somebody says it should be JP and me.
Yeah, exactly.
I think if it's I don't want to talk about prepositions, but you would say join me and
join
Eric.
JP and I. You do that?
No, you would say join me.
It would join JP.
Join me and JP at Chase and Tails.
Right.
But if you said, watch party?
But then if you said that you were hanging at Chase Tails, you would say JP and I.
Yes.
JP and I were chilling at Chase Tails.
What you do is you remove the JP and then you create the sentence.
This is too much thought. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I don't think about it. If I sound dumb by saying me and somebody are going somewhere, I don't care.
Yeah, so be it.
I couldn't care less.
But you know what tilts me? When people misspell... like there, they do the wrong there. Like
or your.
Yes.
I feel like a big
or
silly.
Two.
Because I will never mix that.
Yeah.
So that is my silly. And when I see people mix up there, like Adam, I feel like you're the biggest
sometimes
dummy
if
in the country.
I know, but if you voice text, sometimes
it comes
sometimes across that way.
Wrong.
Look, everybody has their
voice
kryptonite.
Voice text is a nightmare.
Valdez, really 10 minutes ago, when I'm about to do my Bar Louie read, he goes,
where are you going, Pete?
He's got to do his update.
Oh,
yeah. And he's got real work to do. Valdez goes, I think you're having a problem saying the word pain. You're saying it pang.
He did, said, you did say that.
Yeah. Oh, you're kidding.
Why was it written
that way? I did. I did never heard of a hunger pang.
Never heard of a hunger pang before.
See, you're the biggest
hillbilly. He's trying to outsmart me.
Yeah,
I'm saying,
stop.
You've never heard of a hunger pang? No!
But
what
it
is
got
that?
In your head because then you kind of botched the read.
Yeah, I botched the read because of
Valdez. See?
Joined by Bob Gallagher. Super Monkey Tilt.
Joined by Bob Gallagher.
By the way, our friend Dave Schwab, who's a super agent in the town, says, the reason you've been on here for more than 20 years, it's exactly this segment. Spending more time on his name than the interview itself is a winner.
Right.
So thank
is
you,
it?
David Schwab.
I remember the interview now. He was hyping up Panini.
Breadman.
That's another name we can't say.
Panarin.
I hope somebody takes Money. Panarin and just, Panarin. And just smashes him into the boards tonight.
Oh, yeah.
100 times.
The Blackhawks. If he scores tonight, we're finito.
Well, odds are he's going to score.
Finito Santiago.
He's probably going to score. It's what he does.
Yeah, it's a loser. Down 3-1.
Bob McGilligan.
No reason to watch game 5.
Bob McGilligan.
Going by Bob McGilligan.
God, I suck.
Well, you also, you sounded parched there. You really break it down.
I'm always thirsty. I'm always parched. Before, I have 100 drinks.
Hey, before I forget.
He just drinks 100 beers before he goes to sleep. He wakes up completely dehydrated.
I'm going to need 5 beers on tap tonight for this stupid
Caps game. Of course
you will.
Of course you will. The Rockets game last night? Harden went 2 for 18 and 1 for 10 from threes, and they still won by 20. Anthony Towns has been awful in 2 games.
I heard they were praising Harden's defense, believe it or not.
I don't know. I didn't see
three
game.
Steals and 3 blocks.
But
so
if you would have
Green at 21.
If you would have told me Harden was going to go 2 for 18 and 1 for 10 from threes, I would have said, yeah, probably going to lose the game.
Right. And they smoked them.
They won by 20.
Well, didn't T-Wolves score like 80 or 81 points?
Yeah, it was like 102-82.
Yeah, I mean.
Carl Anthony Towns has 13 points in 2 playoff games.
What is going on there?
Is Clint Capella just shutting him down? What's the deal?
Well, I tell you what, he's not getting a lot of shots off, so maybe he is.
I don't know if it's a Capella thing. I read the Rockets' defensive philosophy, believe it or not, is they completely disrespect 2-point field goals.
Right, they'll just let you have them all day.
So they'll switch on every pick and roll and give you a mismatch. So somebody like Carl Anthony Towns, who's 6'10", 6'11", close to a 7-footer, might have somebody who's 6'4 on him in the post, but they're like, go ahead, shoot your 50%. From that 2-point,
we'll go down and hit a three. Yeah, we'll go down and hit a three. Yeah,
and I think Carl Anthony Towns, he's kind of a new wave center. He's not as much as Porzingis, but he shoots from the outside. He knocks down threes, so
absolutely.
He might be forced. I'm guessing. I didn't watch the game, but I'm guessing maybe he's forcing himself down low where he's not as comfortable.
Yeah, he was. Yeah, he took 3 last night. They only took 8. They were 5 for 18 from threes. The Rockets were 16 for 52. Rockets took 52 threes last
Cakes
night.
Is desperate for NBC Sports Washington to have some video. He was laughing his ass off during the break.
Well, it was pretty funny.
Explain what you saw.
Well, I saw JP walk into the studio door, and I guess his hands were full. I don't know if he had like cereal
I had
or
a
something.
Cup of water, and I had a protein bar.
Okay, so his hands are full, so he's attempting to sit down in his chair with his full hands instead of putting the items down on the table first, and he nearly falls out of his chair and spills himself and what's in his hands all over the floor. It was pretty close. I'm pretty sure NBC Sports Washington has captured it on
a
video.
Near wipeout. Physical humor just makes Cakes laugh more than anything.
That's funny.
I'm going to show it.
Oh, they did get it.
You think that's not funny?
Look at Cakes pointing at him.
Are we juvenile or what?
You go to NBC Sports Washington.
Can they replay that one more time,
please?
It's just
a simple video. I have
and then put that out as a meme.
I think I have a protein bar.
Tweet
one
it out.
That's a
May-May.
Why don't you call it by
Bryce Harper?
The correct pronunciation is May-May, please.
Yeah, please run that one more time, Doug, or whoever's pushing the buttons, so we could just enjoy that.
And you know it's going to be a May-May all day long on Twitter.
Here we go. JP's sitting down.
Oops.
I've fallen.
Actually, I don't even think I have anything in my right hand.
No, you had a candy
bar.
Cake's
face.
Oh, it's so funny. It's just funny. It's comic relief.
You got to remember that, man. Even when we're not on air, they're running.
They're running
all the time.
They can see everything. They can hear everything,
audio.
Too.
Anything you're saying in here.
I've given up on that.
You know all the bad things you say about Doug, the producer back there?
Oh, F Doug all
They
the
catch
time,
it right? all.
No, but I do. I've just punted on that. Like, we'll have conversations that are brutal. Brutal. Like, maybe, and
they know everything about our lives.
And then it, you
pretty
just,
much.
Like, sometimes you got to go, dude, there could be like females listening on the other side. And what are you going to do?
We're just having we're just living our life.
Just to talk actual business, do you know what we actually officially punted on?
Off air? You're doing it off air.
Yeah, I don't know. What made me
What's the rule on that?
Nervous. I don't. They don't listen to us during the show, only after the show, from what they tell us.
They're lying.
But someone told Eric the other day that our show was on during the commercial break at NBC News.
Oh, or NBC Channel 4.
Yeah. Nice.
No, it wasn't on during the commercial. No. Nobody was watching.
Like Erica Gonzalez was watching March.
No, it was like they had a billion monitors.
That's why I said she's so
and
hot.
It was on one of the monitors, and they were like, why are you guys on our monitors? We weren't even on the air.
Mm. It was like 5:40
in the morning. It was like 5:30 in the morning.
Mm-hmm. They just had our feed.
It was just
they
a glitch.
They had the feed from probably getting clips the night before. Someone didn't change the feed.
Right.
So you just never know. Like, what if I was in there scratching my Bozak? Or right. You know what I mean? Like, it's 5:30. We're
not
on air
yet. I do it all the time.
I could have been flashing Jackie Bradford, the GM of Channel 4. I wouldn't even know it.
What we've officially
Melissa Malay's looking at you. Scratch.
Right.
Well, we've officially punted.
I mean, Jason didn't wear drawers.
And what's punting?
EB used to bring this up to the management over at CSN, which is now NBC Sports Washington, was they never air our non-sports segments. It's impossible to watch one segment on the Best of the Junkies about, like, let's say the segment we had on Bob McGilligan's name.
Right. In
that
other words,
will not air.
In my opinion, they're not running the best segments.
Well, they're not running the spirit of the show. The show is, it's great. They're going to.
Did they change that at all? Or
they'll run the McGilligan interview.
Buckhantz.
They won't run the McGilligan after interview.
Right, the post.
No, they'll run Buckhantz.
They'll run Buckhantz. They'll run us talking about the Caps.
Right. They've been doing it more often.
They won't throw in the massage segment.
They definitely show all the comedian stuff. And yes, they have been doing a couple of like our fights and things like that.
They do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Hopefully they'll show JP angling for stuff for the studio,
yes.
But take it home in
that
a
would
suitcase.
Be great. There we go.
Well, I hope some school sees it or hears about it and sends us a box or something. I don't care who it is.
You're following up.
I don't care if it's Missouri State. I'll wear it.
Sure.
Eric, do you know that one time. A few months ago, I was in here like at 1 p.m., and one of the guys was coming in here to do some work, and he pulled me to the side and said, Drab, I just want you to know that when you're in that studio by yourself during the day, everyone's watching you, and a lot of times you're picking your nose.
Oh, no. That's dreadful.
Well, everyone, me?
No.
Drab.
From 10 to make it about you.
10 to, you know,
worse listening.
After the show, the feed never dies.
Well, right. Everyone picks their nose. Look, I'm doing it right now.
Well, yeah, but most people do it when they're not on camera.
Gross. Yeah. Everyone does it.
But when you get like a nice hold on. When you get
doesn't pick their nose?
Yeah, but you do it in the bathroom.
All the girls that are back there at NBC's, they pick their nose.
I know, but they don't do it on camera like you just did.
I don't care. You think I care?
That was actually disgusting.
I don't care. Look.
What are you doing? Oh, you missed, Eric. You missed it.
I know.
Oh my
he's
god!
He's so busy on his phone. It's unbelievable.
He's always on his phone.
I'm texting my buddy.
He actually, after you saw him dig deep, he then licked.
He ate a booger.
It's my boogie. It's mine.
Oh. He ate a booger.
It's my boogie.
God, we actually might get thrown off the air for that.
This might be a new
low. You might lose a TV contract. I don't think you're allowed to eat a booger on TV.
I will.
I don't think he actually ate one.
Breaking new ground.
We're really going to take a huge pay cut if we lose it.
It's a very good point.
Doug says you can eat boogers.
Oh, you can.
Because that's legit?
Was it like a cornflake?
I don't think he had anything.
No,
why are you dogs sleeping on what we're doing tomorrow on the show?
I know what we're doing.
Picking skins, wins and losses tomorrow.
It'll be the fourth time we've
done
it.
Why?
Because the schedule comes out tonight.
The official dates come out
tonight, 8 p.m.
It's not going to change when they play them. I'll still have the same predictions.
What was your last one? Like 1-15?
No, probably like 4-12 or something. I think they're poop.
All right,
Lurch's we've done one for this year. I don't think we've done one
you
for
were away,
the upcoming
we
season.
Did it when I made it away.
And then we're going to do another one after the draft.
Yes.
Because I think on paper.
And then we got to do one more final after week four.
Because I
of
think
the preseason.
They're worse now than they were at the end of the season. I can even say, even if you said they're a little bit better at quarterback, some might make that argument. Overall, I think they're worse. Because they've lost more guys than they've replaced.
All right,
but you might get more healthy bodies.
We have a comedian coming in tomorrow. Who is it?
It's Lurch's favorite comedian.
Ooh, hold
Pablo
on.
John Francisco?
John Witherspoon?
It is Pablo.
Pablo's in tomorrow? Yeah. Nice.
Which is interesting because we got to ask him about getting stuck in the loop on stage.
Oh, you're not asking him about that. Well, you don't make it uncomfortable.
Boom, boom, beef.
I'm out of the shock jock game. I'm out.
I know you're out permanently. All you do is stare at your phone.
What is he talking about? I have no idea what he's talking about.
Because Pablo was high on drugs and kept saying the same thing over and over, and he wants us to ask him that.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm not asking him that. You come in here and ask him that.
Oh. Well, Matt show ask him.
Yeah, you ask him.
He's just going to do his Mark Wahlberg voices and make me laugh.
He's going to do this.
Boom, boom, beach.
You think that's not
and
funny when he does that?
And then have his sister here do the Mike Tyson.
he's going to do pot sticker zings.
Yeah. I'm not asking
He'll
him about
Mr.
the...
He'll do Mr. Movie Phone.
You want to ask Mr. about his Magoo. Worst moment?
Yes. He'll do the old... You think I do old man bits? He's going to do Mr. Magoo. He's going to make you laugh.
Casey Kasem.
You're going
to
laugh.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.